Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 6 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians titled Bearing the Cross and His Brand Marks. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I hope you've been enjoying the study on Galatians. It's life-changing. It's just incredible. I kind of hate to leave the Book of Galatians. There was so much more we could do, but we're going to carry on the same theme into the book of Ephesians. And as we've covered the book of Galatians, and I know that's one of Ron Ross's favorite books. He's the grace guy, the grace man. And if you need any, just go see him. He'll dip it out, give it to you. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as those are coming in. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today. And Lord God, today is a special day that you have created. And I ask and pray, oh God, that I will not and that we will not abort anything that you want to birth today. Lord, I pray that today is a fresh day. Let us be fresh and expecting in it. And Lord, don't let us be like the Jews were in Jerusalem when Jesus said, I'm here, but they have missed their visitation. Lord, let us not miss your visitation. A lot of times, Lord, we're waiting for you to come and you're here. So Lord, help us to see you being here. Help us to see you being here. Help us to identify with you being here. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that we have, permission from God the Father to claim that we're your children, to claim that you're our Father, and to claim that we know what we're doing because we're trusting you. So Lord, teach us how to trust in you more and more and more each day. The older I get, Lord, the less impressed I really am with myself, and the more I need you. So Lord, help us to hang on to you with all we got. And we'll talk about you till you come, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory, let's just have a revival. Let's just do it. I'm with it too. Praise God. The intercessors have been praying. I can feel it. You know, I'm not the amplifier, but I'm the speaker. The intercessors are the amplifier. They're the one that puts the juice in the speaker. It's just a lot of people say, "Well, Alan, how do you speak so much?" Y'all just do not have no idea what fun I'm having. Because this position is prayed for so much by the intercessors here. All you got to do is walk in this spot, and it's like, wow. We got a visitor with us, Dr. Marty Schaefer, a friend of mine. He's from Washington State. We'll be speaking today, and I pray when he walks up here that he'll just get dosed real good with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that he is a doctor, you know. He's a Dr. Schaefer of divinity, and I pray that he lose all of his doctorate. It can't happen because I've seen it. Now, he will try to be calm and collective and do real good. But I pray that the Holy Spirit just slaps slobber out of him. Yeah, he will receive it. I know the guy. He will reluctantly receive it. I'm sorry, Marty. No, I'm not really. Okay. A Revival Fire CD. We have them at the back. I made 100 or so. They're gone. We got a fresh batch. I made a commercial for them last week, and we were already out. So they're back. How many of you have actually listened to this CD? Be honest with me. The Lord is looking. Okay. We got a lot of people that need to listen to it yet. If you will just listen to this CD one time, is all I ask you, and then give it to someone, I think it'll be worth your time. So pick them up in the back. The reason they're there is to give them away. You say, "Well, Alan, I don't know who to give it to." Well, when you go to the doctor's office, just take it out of your pocketbook and leave it laying. I promise you, it says on there, free, not for sale. Somebody will pick it up. And the Holy Spirit of God will lead them to it. So pick up the Revival Fire CD. Also, last week's teachings, the notes, and everything are at the back. And if you would pick that up, I have a few sets of Philippians. They're free. The church provides all this. They're in a set at the back. If you would like a complete set on Philippians, you might pick that up. Okay, let's get started. Galatians, lesson number 6 is bearing the cross and his brand marks. Bearing the cross of Christ. Now, that can sound like a burdensome thing. It can sound like a bad thing. All of a sudden, we're thinking bearing the cross of Christ sounds like a weight or something that's heavy. Now, the outward, as we go into this lesson, the outward appearance of carrying the cross of Christ is to be heavy or a burdensome thing. But the yoke of the Lord is not heavy. Now, in spiritual things, we need to understand the physical observation. That's the reason in the prophetic you don't look at the physical observation. The physical observation is a decoy for the secret of the spirit that's hidden within. For instance, the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Satan entered Judas Iscariot, betrayed him. Therefore, he hung on a tree, on a cross, and died. Outward appearance, that is terrible. Hidden secret, the shedding of his blood was the forgiveness of all sin. Outward appearance, repulsive, I don't want any of that. But when that happens, that's the way God has disguised and protected his secrets. So as he reveals his secrets to us as believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to bring us the revelation of the secret that's hidden behind that's repulsive. Are you with me? Now, as we are encountering each other, we can encounter each other's outward appearance, our outward behavior. We can then make a decision on how we like that person or not. God says he does not look on the outward appearance of man, but upon the heart of man. So as believers and as Christians, God is trying to teach us how to look upon the hearts of his people. Not only that, the hearts of people. If you operate in the prophetic, what you're looking in the prophetic is you've got to learn how to see the hearts of people. And when you see the hearts of people, then you respond or you talk to that person based on their heart, not on the outer stuff. The reason we repent of the outer stuff is so we can get to the inner stuff. The outer stuff is a distraction. The inner stuff is the real deal. Are you with me? So you, in the book of Galatians, he's saying, okay, you can keep the laws and fix all this outer stuff. You can fix it all. He said you still don't have anything. You can be religious. You can keep the letter of the law. You can be have circumcision, uncircumcision. You can do all this outward stuff. But what Paul's saying, that's not the deal. That's not what God's after. What he's after is what's in here. So as Christians, we relate to each other. The idea is to relate to each other based on this. Not on the outward thing, not on who's the most religious, who has the greatest gift, who has this. So as we go into chapter 6, which is the last chapter in the book of Galatians, as Paul brings this epistle to a close, he summarizes it in this one statement. Now, I'm going to make this one statement here in Paul's summary. In the meantime, I'm going to ask towards the end of this teaching, I'm going to ask you to tell me what your favorite verse is in the book of Galatians. Which verse is the most meaningful to your life? So keep that in mind. If you want to skim through Galatians, the first 6 chapters, as I'm speaking, as I'm talking, as the Holy Spirit brings to you a verse that means the most to you, is the most life-changing verse, or the one you hope for, then I'm going to ask you to read that for me. Now, as Paul brings this epistle to a close, he summarizes it in this one statements. In Galatians chapter 6, the chapter that we're studying this week, verse 15. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? A new what? A new creation. So Paul is talking about this thing in here. He said it's not if you've been circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not if you're really religious, if you've kept the law. Paul said, listen, let me talk to you about this new creation. We ask God to help us be this new creation, but yet we want to hold on to the old creation. Anybody guilty of that one? We ask for the new creation, but yet we hang on to the old creation, somehow trying to preserve parts of it and bringing it into our new creation. Do you know it's really hard to remodel a house? It's so hard to remodel a house. It takes twice the work to remodel a house than it does to build a new one. Isn't that right, Brian? You're better off just to flatten the house and build you a new one. Who had that first idea? God. He said, you're just going to have to destroy the old house and let's just build a new one. But what happens to us is we want to remodel our house. We want to be in a remodeling project. God said, no, that's not the idea here. If we're trying to be religious, we're trying to do all of this stuff just right, which you cannot accomplish. Paul is saying, we've got to concentrate on this new house, this new creation. And it's in this new creation that we will find life. Now, Paul speaks to us. Remember that you're going to see symbols in chapter 6. We're going to go over just a few things here that are going to be symbols, but they're showing you what God's really after, which is this new creation. What really matters is not if you have been circumcised or if you have not been circumcised. Not if you have kept the law or not. That's the point of Galatians. The only thing that matters is that you are a new person, creation in Jesus Christ. So as we're progressing on in the new creation, keep in mind, we're not trying to remodel. God is rebuilding. You are a new creation because of the one who dwells where? Within you. Now here's what God's saying. In this new creation, he says, I have put in you an architect. And this architect, which is the Holy Spirit, is going to show you how he wants to rebuild this new house. What is the enemy of the new house? It's us trying to preserve the old one. Right? And then as we're trying to preserve the old one, has anybody ever experienced, God says, you need a little help, I'm going to come in with a wrecking ball. Anybody had that one? So God comes in with a wrecking ball, he starts knocking walls down. Because God has made you a promise. He has promised you he's going to build you a new creation, and he's promised you he's going to complete it. So we are in huge trouble. God keeps his word. What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit being within you? How can I know that this part is in me to help with this new creation? He's covering it in Galatians. How do I know? How do you know? It is important that you know that you have the evidence of the Spirit. And I've said a couple of weeks ago, a lot of people say, well, Alan, the evidence is that you speak in tongues or that you can do this or you can do that. Well, Paul's got a little different idea here. The evidence is made known by how we respond to other people. How do you know you have the evidence of the Spirit within? The way you know is based on how you respond to other people. You say, wow, hadn't ever thought about that one. That's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about here. How you respond to other people tells you if you've got evidence of the Spirit of Christ in you. Does that one resonate with us? Now, the reason I wrote that one in there, because that one is me. How do I respond to people? Sometimes I do pretty good. Sometimes I do pretty bad. And I've noticed within me that I am more proud of myself when I'm pretty bad. What is that? What is that emotion? And boy, I really, yeah, I told him, I gave him peace of my mind. You know, God's saying, lose your mind and take on the mind of Christ, you know. If I just gave you a piece of my mind, then that tells me that I have failed. But for some reason, the human spirit feels the most pride there. Feels like I'm somebody because I told you exactly what I think. My hope is that God changes my mind before I tell you exactly what I think. That I can take on His mind, because exactly what I think is not what I need to say. I've heard people say, well, Alan, I just got to tell them the truth. Well, I don't know about all that. We maybe want to tell them the truth, but it's the truth out of the mind of Christ, not the truth out of the mind of Alan. Because the mind of Alan tends to condemn and destroy. Say, well, I'm going to tell them, bless God, they need to hear the truth, and it'll make them better. Well, all of a sudden, I'm trying to be Holy Spirit. Right? And usually when I can feel that within me, it's a pretty good chance it's not evidence of the Holy Spirit. How I respond, how you respond to people, the litmus test, if you are walking in the Spirit or not, is based on how you respond to people. You say, Alan, why is that important? Because that is the life of Christ. Galatians 5:22, I'll back up a chapter here. That the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Now keep this in mind in responding to people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. There's no law here. How do you do this? Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So how do I respond to people? How do I know I got this fruit of the Spirit? Because I've got love. I've got joy, I've got peace, I've got patience, I've got kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no such longing. And I've got a long ways to go, if I'm very honest with you. I've got a long ways to go. But I still know the right answer. The right answer is how do you know you've got the Spirit operating in your life? It's because you've got the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life. How do you know what an apple tree is? Because of its fruit. Now, the question is, you're going to produce fruit. The question is it good or bad fruit? If somebody eats of your fruit, will you make them healthy or sick? Just a little aggravating thought there. What produces this evidence? What produces the evidence that we have the Spirit? Those who live the what? Crucified life. There again, now here's the comparison. Here's the symbol. What produces the evidence of love, joy, peace, patience, and understanding? What produces all of this? Those who live a crucified life. You can say, well, Alan, I want more of the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lay hands on me, Alan. Give me more of the Spirit. Well, I really wish that one worked. Now, I'm not saying you can't get it that way. I am saying this. I've never done it. But I can tell you that if you want more of the Spirit, if you'll live the crucified life, the Spirit that's in you can then be released. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit's already in you. The question is are you going to let the dog out? The question is, are you going to let the animal out? Are you going to let the Holy Spirit come out through you? As we live the crucified life, what happens is we're letting the Spirit of Christ that indwells in every one of you to come out. You can say, Alan, I want to live like Jesus. You got to live the crucified life. I'm sorry. I wish we could do it with better bells and whistles. I can say you're going to be the smartest person on the face of the earth and everybody's going to love you and think you're fantastic. It's not the way it works. You got to live the crucified life. Crucified to what? Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, we just read. Now, here's a little warning. A Christian cannot lose unless he or she forfeits. Point being, whatever crisis, whatever situation you're in, whatever you are in, a Christian will not lose unless they quit. Forfeit is the only place of, you can't lose. Because in Christ Jesus, we win. The question is, do we stand or not? You say, well, Alan, I'm out of gas. I understand. Don't grow weary. We're going to go over that. Don't grow weary in well-doing. The promise from God is, if you will stand, you will win. Now, what is the game plan in the winning? We have lived a crucified life. Why do we want to crucify the flesh? When Jesus was on the cross, what spiritual implications was this? When Jesus went on the cross, he went under the spiritual radar. Jesus was moving in the spirit, nobody knew it. The greatest miracle of all mankind was taking place. Nobody caught it. Jesus' death. Then he was buried. Then he rose again. All was running stealth. Why do we crucify the flesh? So we can run stealth in the spirit. We're drawing too much enemy fire here, people. We're getting hit too much. We're showing too much flesh. I had a dream one time and the demons didn't have eyes. Seemed like I told this to Mark Dooley years ago. Demons didn't have eyes. The only way they could tell where we were is because they could smell us. They could smell our sin. They could smell our pride. They could smell our flesh. But when we died to the flesh, they couldn't locate us. That was just a dream. But I knew what it was saying. There's a reason to be live the crucified life. The reason is to get under their spiritual radar so that you're not so much a target of the enemy and you can get in there and do what you need to do for God. Here's the warning. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Don't lose what? Lose heart. Where is all of the Holy Spirit? Where, when we look upon each other, what do you look upon? Your heart. So the enemy's going for your heart. So here he says, don't lose your heart in doing good. For in due time, say it, due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now there you go. So that's all I got to say about that. That's what God says and he said it and there it is. It's either true or it's a lie. You've got to choose. We can't say it's true and act like it's a lie. We're fooling ourselves when we do that. In due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of what? The household of faith. Now, religious spirit is the opposite of the new creation. This is what we want to see. There are opposing factors here. It's amazing to me. As soon as we get born again, the first thing you run into is a religious spirit. Because here somebody gets born again and they're just all happy and they're just, all the zeal is embarrassing. Right? The rest of us will sit back and say it's all right. They'll settle down and be like the rest of us before long. Like that's a good thing. Right? So the first thing that invades us is a religious spirit and that anybody will settle down and be like the rest of us. God forgive us that we look like the rest of us. God forgive us. So, well, Alan, I don't want people to get too out of sorts. It'll embarrass us. I would to God I could get embarrassed in church again. Because somebody is so overcome by the Spirit of God that they just can't help it. They just got to tell what Jesus did for them. Just embarrass me real good. When you want to tell what Jesus has done for you. That is the reality of walking in the Spirit. Now, religious spirit, though, is the opposite of this new creation. It's Galatians 6:15. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision. There's religion, but a new creation. Now, here's what we want to start looking at on the new creation. Now, there's a trap here. And it's living for yourself. Now, we're talking about the crucified life. In the crucified life, there's no trap. In the uncrucified life, there's a trap. Now, I had to slip over into another one of Paul's writings that he wrote during this time period, 2 Corinthians 5:14. He's talking about the same subject, different book, different crowd, same topic. And he says this in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, saying, I wish that was me. Wish that was me. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this one, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all. Now watch me just a minute. As we're reading about dying here, don't see that as a bad thing. Now he's symbolic. He's saying you want to die to something here. And he says, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. So there's a key here of running stealth in the spirit. If you don't want to be noticed by the enemy, if you want to start going stealth in the things of the spirit, you no longer live for yourself. Because when you live for yourself, you start raising flags up. Are you with me? I don't know. I just got a picture of the IRS there. I don't know where that one came from. I'll try not to run that one. Okay. We want to run stealth. We don't want to throw up flags on our taxes. Right? We don't want to throw up these flags. Because when you live unto yourself and you're a Christian, you'd be better off not to be a Christian if you're going to live for yourself. The enemy would rather have Christian scalps than non-Christian to hang on his wall. He's much more prouder of those. So how do we run stealth in the spirit, just like Jesus did? We live a crucified life. We get hidden. How are we hidden? Rule number one, don't live for yourself. Live for others. Run stealth. He says, no liver longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. I'm no longer, so part of the new creation is I'm now not the old creation. I'm living for Alan. New creation, I'm living for Christ. You say, but Alan, I've got to give up everything. You got it. But can you not imagine, surely we don't see the prize of what we're trading for. We are trading in our old creation for his new one. God has no used car lots for old creations for sale. God's going to go broke trading like this. Looks like to me, old creations for new ones. And the new ones have no value. But yet we are trading an old one for a new one. This is a good thing. You're trading up. You're not trading down, you're trading up. So God says, come on, keep trading me your old creation for this new one. You'll run stealth in the spirit and you'll get to see stuff nobody else can see. Jesus is telling us a spiritual secret, how to run in the spirit. No longer living for themselves, but for him who died. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Now, look what he's saying. He's really trying to make a spiritual point here. He's saying, listen, we don't recognize anybody by the flesh no more, not even Christ. He said, I'm not following Christ by the flesh anymore. Well, look at it. We have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. He's making, if you can handle this, we say, well, I want to walk the footsteps of Jesus, and Jesus did this, and Jesus did that. And this. Here's his point. That was Jesus then. Here's Jesus now in you. You say, well, Alan, I want to duplicate everything in here. God says, listen, the Holy Ghost is new. This is a new day. It's a new set of people, a new set of circumstances. You've got to have the Holy Spirit in you, just like you didn't have a Bible. Are you in relationship with the Spirit of Christ enough in you as if you didn't have a Bible, you could still walk in the Spirit and follow God? That's the question. Wow. I felt it right there. Anybody feel that one? Holy Ghost liked that. And the Holy Ghost said amen right there. He said, preach it, Alan. I couldn't say all that again if I had to, but I know it was right. He says, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. The old things become new. He is saying, God is saying this, I've got to have this new creature so that the Spirit of Christ can abide in. Can you imagine if God put the power of Christ in an old creature? Would that not be quite dangerous? What if you had the power of Christ and used it for yourself? Now, believe it or not, I have met some of those. They've been new creatures, new creations. They get an anointing. They get a power. Then all of a sudden, they start using it for themselves. It works for a little spell. It'll work for a little while. Once that's in storage is used up, then they're empty once again. Watch this one. Here's the secret that's revealed. You must go in to come out. It's in Romans. I sort of came out of Galatians here. A little same point, same information is in Galatians, in Romans. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus has been baptized into what? Now this phrase should right now have a new meaning to you. The way you're baptized into Christ's death is when you die to yourself and live for others. That is that baptism. How many want to be baptized into Christ? It's not one way to get there. It's a crucified life. You see, when you're not selfish and you're living for others, it produces a spiritual phenomena called being baptized into the death of Christ. When you're baptized into the death of Christ, you have then been placed into a spiritual position. You've been immersed into not... You see, your own self won't get through that opening. You're too fat, spiritually speaking. Are you with me? You can't get through this. You've got to go through this dying to yourself, dying to your selfishness. You don't lose yourself, your personal identity. You lose your selfishness. You're living unto yourself. So you die to yourself. You get through this spiritual opening. And all of a sudden, you're encapsulated. You have been baptized into the presence of Christ. And you're like, wow. What is this? And you kind of look around and say, well, where did I go? Oh, I left my old self out there. But it feels so good in here. I'm underwater and I'm breathing. I'm in a spiritual plane here. And I want to help this person. And I want to help that person. And I want to help this person. And when we help them, then it works. You're like, wow, it didn't work before. I fed the poor, and I helped this one, and I helped that one. It's like it didn't work when I was over there, but now that I'm in this baptism, it's like I can't do anything wrong. Everything I do works. It's because we have truly died to our own selfishness, and we have been baptized. We had went stealth, and we have been baptized. We're living the crucified life. It's not a bad thing. The crucified life means you just check your stuff at the door. If you want to go back, it's still there. You know, oh, yippee. Okay. Therefore, we have been buried with him and through baptism into death. You see that one? Baptism unto death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead. Now, here we go. Through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The walking in the newness of life is when we are raised from the dead in the baptism. It's newness of life. You check yourself at the door. Why do you check yourself at the door? Because you're going into a spiritual plane. If God allowed us to bring our old nature into this spiritual world, we wouldn't live 5 seconds. The spiritual aroma. If you're not stealth, you can't run there. Listen, the Garden of Eden had two trees in it. One tree was called the Tree of Life. Remember that tree? Right, Adam and Eve sinned. God ran them out of the garden. Why? Because he didn't want them to get to the Tree of Life. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he ran them out of the garden. Because if they had eaten of that tree and then got to the tree of life, they would have lived forever. So therefore, death entered. And we find ourselves at a place that we die physically and spiritually. And both of them's a good thing. Both of them's a good thing. But God says, if you'll die spiritually, if you'll die to your selfishness and walk in this place of the Spirit, if you'll be baptized into the death of Christ, when you leave this earthly body, you're not going to be a stranger. You're going to feel like you've already been there because we're walking in the power of the Spirit. Wow, it's 10 after. Let me hurry. I'll never get done with this thing. Here's the reward of the power of His resurrection. How do we get the power of the resurrection? You can't get the power of the resurrection unless you die first. No way it'll happen. In other words, if I have great pride, there's no way I can come up here or anywhere and want everybody to watch me pray for somebody or me do something great. There's no way it's going to be authentic. If you see anybody up here other than Jesus, we have failed. Why? It's because we got to go under. We got to go stealth. When we go stealth and we pray for people, things, the power of the resurrection's there. Nobody gets credit for it but God. When God gets the credit in here about everything and you know it in your heart, we're hitting on something. Look out, she's coming. She's going to bust us wide open. Scary place to be. I'd like to get scared again. There's power in the resurrection. Romans 6, 5 through 7. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His what? Here we go. Are you getting it? If we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. Death to what? Jesus died to everything He was. Jesus was God and He died to that. Because it equaled something in a spiritual phenomena. Isn't that amazing? It equaled something. So when we unite and understand that we're dying to this selfishness, we are then in the likeness of His death, being you're baptized into His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of what? Of His resurrection. That's where the power's at. This church has longed for the power of God as long as I've known this church. And we get little bits here and there. With the world that's out there now, we need more than what we've had to go where we got to go. And this book says we've got to die to our selfishness. We need to go, we need to check our selfishness at the door. All of our important stuff that we think we are and what they don't recognize means somebody don't appreciate. Check it all at the door. Walk through there. You can then get through there real easy. You will then be into a baptism of the death of Christ. It's in that baptismal world that you're running stealth in the Spirit. And there's power of the resurrection Lord going to bust us wide open. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him. That's what we're trading. In order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves. Well, I don't have time to get into the boasting because it's time for me to stop. But there's something that comes against the power of the resurrection, and it's the boasting, or it's the religious spirit I was just speaking about. It says this in Galatians 6:13 in your homework. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. You see, we don't want anybody to come in here and say, boy, that, you know, last year they were this big sinner, but look at them now. They've been hanging around us. Now, bless God, look at them. Ain't they doing pretty good? Like the rest of us with their chest poked out. That's what they were doing. Paul said, you're killing the Spirit because you're boasting in the flesh. That's what kills it. Do you boast in what you have accomplished in others? Uh-oh. Do you boast because you have persuaded, convinced, or manipulated people into your way of thinking? That is what this boasting means. If I'm up here trying to persuade or manipulate you, I have failed. But if I say anything and it comes out of me in the power of the Spirit of God, you don't say, well, that's not Alan, but you know that that's the Holy Spirit of God, and something in you says yes and amen, we're clicking on something. We're clicking on something. We don't want to boast. It's the enemy, Galatians 6:13. Boastfulness is progressive. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. What does this boasting look like that Paul was talking about? It's because you're challenging each other all the time. Well, I think we're post-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, hippie trib. What's your trib? What's your trouble? Right? We're always challenging each other with Scripture and stuff. We envy one another. Well, this person's got that, and bless God, I want that too. They shouldn't have that. I think I'm more. That's envying. That is what it's talking about. That causes you, when somebody is challenging somebody all the time, or you're envying somebody all the time, what's going on in you is you're being boastful. That's what's happening. Thank you. You're welcome. There's one exception. But may it never be that I would boast, except one exception, say one exception, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So you got one thing you got permission to boast in, and it's the cross of Christ. Now, Paul understood that the church of Galatia was losing the power of the resurrection. So he writes this book of Galatians. I hope that we've learned something. I know I have. I've been convicted. And come, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for the power of your written word. We thank you for the power of your Spirit. And dear God, it is my prayer that all of us in this church can follow the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Even if we didn't have a Bible, we were so in touch with who you are that you could lead us day by day. We could follow you. We would not grow weary in well-doing because we know your voice. We know your presence. Now, Lord God, it's my prayer that you'd invade this place. Help us to run stealth in the Spirit. And Lord, I know I don't know what I asketh for, but slap the slobber out of us with your presence. That's a spiritual thing. I don't know what it means. Amen. Let's get some coffee.